change and doing things, you know, that are more efficient and more effective.
And we're back with another episode of Future Proof. As always, I'm your loyal host, Bill Sheridan. Okay, let's do this thing. You know, we spend a lot of time on the show talking about future trends, you know, cool stuff like advances in technology, artificial intelligence, blockchain, automation, and more importantly, what those things mean for the future of our profession, for our businesses, our clients. But there are a whole lot of other hard trends, aka future facts, aka things that we know are going to happen that will have a huge impact on what we do. They're not as sexy, sure, but they're equally impactful. And if we want to talk about becoming future ready, and we do, then we need to be talking about these things too. So let's dive down into the decidedly unsexy world of regulation this week. Yeah, not sexy at all, right? But man, we've got to talk about this stuff because this stuff might have more of an impact on what we do going forward than anything that technology can throw our way. And joining me for this conversation is about the best person I can think of to talk about regulation of the accounting and finance world. He's Russ Golden. He is the chair of the Financial Accounting Standards Board, better known to him as the FASB, better known to you and I as FASB. I'll get to my interview with Russ Golden here in just a minute. First, let me tell you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So we all know who FASB is, right? And look, we're struggling to keep up with all these changes, whether they're technological or demographic or regulatory in nature. It's hard to wrap our arms around all this stuff, right? Well, guess what? The folks who regulate this profession, they're struggling just as hard to come to grips with all this change and complexity as we are. And here's another case in point. On July 31st, the FASB issued a proposed accounting standards update that was intended to help distinguish liabilities from equity. Pretty big deal in the corporate finance world. It's a huge driver of restatements, Russ Golden told me. Here's what he had to say. He said, quote, during the FASB's agenda consultation project a few years ago, stakeholders described liabilities and equity guidance as overly complex, internally inconsistent, and the source of frequent financial restatements. And we believe the proposed ASU, or Accounting Standards Update, would help reduce complexity and improve understandability in this area while providing financial statement users with more relevant information. And here's more from FASB. I'm quoting directly from their news release about the proposed update. It reads, quote, to achieve this objective, the FASB targeted its efforts to improve the guidance on both convertible instruments and derivatives scope exception for contracts in a company's own equity. The proposed ASU would reduce the number of accounting models for convertible debt instruments and convertible preferred stock. It would revise the derivatives scope exception guidance to reduce form over substance-based accounting conclusions driven by remote contingent events. The proposed ASU also would improve and amend the related disclosure and earnings per share guidance, end quote. And that's, you know, that's just the latest example of the hard trend of regulation in action. This type of stuff is coming at us faster and harder than ever, and it will only continue to do so. That's a future fact. Get used to it, right? Our challenge, of course, is wrapping our arms around all this regulatory chaos and getting ahead of it somehow. Getting the various regulators' email lists and getting updates about what they're up to is a good start. Commenting on their proposals when appropriate is another great step. You know, and maybe even taking a clarity break from time to time. I'm talking about an hour or so once a week to quit working in your business so that you can work on it. That's a clarity break. And perhaps using that time to think you know, or identify the opportunities that these changes offer you in your organization and your clients. That's another great step. The point is, this stuff's not going away. It's time to figure out some things that we can do to deal with it. And maybe the very first step is just to sit back for the next 30 minutes or so and listen to what Russ Golden has to say. And he has a lot of great things to say in this week's show. So without further ado, here is FASB Chair Russ Golden. So Russ, thanks for joining me today. Now, let's start by having you tell me a little bit about Russ Golden. I mean, where are you from originally?
I was born in Opelika, Alabama. And when I was 7 years old, my family and I, we moved to the Seattle, Washington area. I graduated high school in Seattle, attended Washington State University, and then started my career in the Seattle office of Deloitte & Touche. And then went to their national office, which at the time was located in Wilton, Connecticut. I'd also spent time in the Orange County and San Jose offices of Deloitte & Touche. I came to the board at the beginning of 2004 as a member of the senior staff and became a member of the FASB in October of 2010. And my last day as a board member and the FASB chair will be June 30th, 2020, when I will have completed the maximum amount I can as a member of the FASB.
Got it. And you're a CPA, correct?
I am a CPA. I'm licensed in the state of Connecticut.
And why accounting? What kind of drew you to the profession originally?
Well, what I like about accounting is, one, I think it's a wonderful language to learn about what a business did and what a business has and what a business owes. It's rare that I have 2 days in my career that are the same. You meet a lot of wonderful, dedicated, ethical, ambitious people, and you really get to dig into what are the economics of underlying transactions and why are managers making the decisions that they're making. So I found a very rewarding career, and I hope to continue to work in the accounting profession once my board term is up next year.
Yeah. I was going to say, what kind of plans do you have once that term expires?
I want to look for something where I can serve the profession, serve financial reporting. I haven't really dug into in the details at this point, but I very much like the accounting profession and want to continue to be actively involved in the accounting profession and financial reporting.
Great. So let's talk about change, disruption here for a few minutes. How has this kind of exponential pace of change that we've been seeing over the last few years impacted standard setters like you folks on the board?
Well, there's been a lot of change that the FASB has promoted since I've been working here at this organization. We think that each one of those improved information to investors, but we recognize that each of those changes comes at some cost to change. And so we carefully evaluate the impact to investors and the cost of change to prepare. We continue to monitor those changes to see if there's anything we need to do to improve it, which could be providing clarity to our stakeholders so they understand what the board meant, providing narrowing diversity because two companies disagree or two auditors disagree or a regulator and an auditor disagree. Or looking at ways in which we could reduce cost without impacting the information to investors. And we've had a number of examples that we've done that on revenue, leases, CECL, hedging, and we'll continue to do that. We've also been actively working on improving our conceptual framework since I've been the board chair. We completed a very important chapter for the future of financial reporting disclosures to help the board have more consistent disclosure requirements amongst all topics. But right now, we're actively working on the conceptual framework for measurement and presentation, two areas where we currently do not have anything in the conceptual framework. And I think that's why the board over time has come to inconsistent conclusions on measurement and presentation. And inconsistent conclusions is what I think drives ultimately accounting complexity. We're also working on refining the definitions of elements, assets, liabilities, so that we can have more consistent conclusions in the future. The framework won't be completed while I'm the board chair, but I do think we're laying the foundation for future boards to complete that. And I do think that once that completed, that will allow for more consistent conclusions by the board, which will reduce complexity and reduce cost for preparers and auditors. So I think that's a really important thing to do. It's important that the board get it right, and that's one of the reasons why we're taking more time. And then finally, as all boards do, we look and think about the future, and are we addressing the right projects today to solve the financial reporting problems of tomorrow? And so we're spending a lot of time working on segment disclosures and performance reporting, going out and getting information from our stakeholders to see if there are viable solutions to help improve the face of the income statement, as well as the footnotes to describe what are the activities on a more granular level of a company.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on. And given that kind of the pace of change today and all the complexity that we've been seeing and how chaotic things can be, how is that impacting the standard setting process, or is it impacting it? Do you guys find yourselves kind of, I don't know, dealing with a pressure to respond more quickly given how quickly things are changing, or how is that impacting your work?
So there have been some transactions that have evolved as a result of technology changes in the marketplace that the board needed to address. Recently was accounting for cloud computing. There's also one that fascinated me when I first got the question, which was accounting for virtual gaming products. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was. I had to literally ask my 12-year-old son at the time what a virtual gaming product was. But it was basically, was it a good or a service? Is what we had to address. There's been a number of these that the board has had to address. That doesn't apply to every company out there, because not every company has the scenario, but it is really important to those that have the scenario. We find out about those questions because of relationships with companies and with auditors. We regularly meet with companies of all sizes, as well as auditors of all sizes, and we always ask them, what are some new transactions that are evolving that we need to know about? We also ask each of our advisory committees, what are new transactions that we need to know about? And then we judge if there is something that we need to do. We're also using technology to try to make our process more efficient as to how we evaluate comment letters, how we evaluate trends in financial reporting. We are the organization that is responsible for keeping the XBRL taxonomy up to date. And so we use XBRL for a lot of our research to understand what are the particular types of disclosures or presentations that are common with respect to companies. And that has helped us as we monitor disclosure improvements or to see if there's other improvements that need to be done. With respect to the comment letters, we're able to better organize those and better analyze those on a more efficient basis by using technology. We've also used technology on how we record and document board meetings, and that's been helpful.
That's certainly the pace of change and complexity is impacting everybody, from the sounds of things. Shifting gears here for just a second, where do we stand today with regard to private company standards? What do business leaders need to know at this point?
I think the private company council has been a great achievement for our organization. It has helped all of our stakeholders recognize that private companies and small businesses have different pressures, different timing, different financial reporting needs. And so what we have learned is that one size is not always necessary. We've also learned that it is okay to allow for and probably better for the system to allow for private companies as well as smaller public companies more time to adopt some of our changes. And recently we decided to reevaluate our methodology to give non-public companies, not-for-profits, and smaller public companies more time to learn from public companies. We used to make companies adopt standards at the same time, whether you're a public, private, not-for-profit. But over the last few years, we've evolved from that view to where we now believe it's important that we give the smaller public companies and private companies and not-for-profits more time. They're able to learn about the types of accounting policies that public companies select. They're able to learn the types of disclosures that public companies perform. They're able to learn what are the regulatory focus or the auditing focus. What are some differences in diversity that may occur at the original implementation date that can then be resolved before the private companies are required to implement? And all that, we think, reduces the cost to the smaller public companies, the private companies, and not-for-profits. So we're gonna expose that change in the coming weeks, and we're looking forward to the comments from our stakeholders as to whether or not they think that's a good idea or not. We've also learned that private companies, investors do not need as much disclosures as a public company, that they have the ability to access management, and what they need is disclosures to give them enough detail that they need to ask additional questions. So we've seen a lot of disclosure differences between public and private. And finally, what we've learned is that sometimes when something works for a private company, perhaps we should consider it for a public company. And we recently just exposed for public comment and an invitation to comment about amortization of goodwill. Public companies right now have to do an impairment model. Some have viewed that as very costly. It was very costly in the private company community. And so the board a few years ago allowed private companies to do that. We've recently expanded that to not-for-profits. And now we're deciding if we should expand that private company conclusion to public companies. So I think the system's working well. I think the PCC deserves a lot of credit. I think the AICPA deserves a lot of credit for asking us to create something like the Private Company Council.
Mm-hmm. And now you said your term as chair runs through, is it next year, 2020?
Yeah, June 30th, 2020 is the end of my term, and I'm not eligible to be reappointed.
Got it. So I guess kind of, you know, looking back, what do you see as the board's most important accomplishments, I guess, in the years that you've been on board?
That's kind of like asking which kid you like best. I think the board has accomplished a lot over the last few years. A lot of that was started by my predecessors, focusing on international alignment, on revenue recognition and leases and CECL and hedging. And I think we've had a lot of successes there. We both boards have improved accounting, and in most cases, we've improved it in a very similar fashion. And I think the boards, that's a great achievement, and I think will help international markets for the years to come. I think recognizing that not one size doesn't fit all and it's okay to have differences between public and private is a very important achievement that I think will stand the test of time and will be important in the future. I think promoting and trying to make GAAP simpler without impacting investor information is another great achievement. And finally, I think that the serving our stakeholders and helping them implement our standards, I think will promote a few things. First, they'll promote a quality, timely implementation, but it'll also allow the board to react to changes on a proactive basis, which I think will help the system as a whole.
So, I mean, you've mentioned a lot of stuff on your plate and on the board's plate, a lot of things that you guys are working on. What do you think are the priorities over the next couple of years that are going to have the biggest impact in terms of the impact on the profession?
So, I from the FASB standpoint, we're focus on continuing to monitor the implementation of these major projects. We're also on July 31st going to issue an for exposure an improvement to and simplifying distinguishing liabilities from equity. I think this is a really important project to reduce cost and to promote simplification. Distinguishing liabilities from equity has for a number of years been either the number one or number two driver of restatements in financial reporting. It is a very complicated and complex set of rules, and we are trying to reduce that complexity by this proposal. And so we're looking forward to the comments and looking forward to resolving that before I leave in the middle of June next year. We're also, as I said, planning for the future and actively working on and continuing progress on the conceptual framework, on financial performance reporting, and on segment reporting. And so we're looking forward to working with our stakeholders, especially on performance reporting and segment reporting, to see if there's changes that can be made there.
Just kind of a very general question. What is, you know, given all the change that we've been seeing lately and the change of how you guys have been doing your work, what is the FASB of tomorrow kind of look like to you?
I think it's important that the FASB be made up of representatives of the financial reporting environment. And so that includes investors, academia, preparers, auditors that have experiences in all sizes of companies. I also think it's very important that the FASB staff also be made up of those with similar experiences and similar abilities. And so I think that the FASB of tomorrow will have the diverse experiences that they have today. But I think that they will continue to focus on improving accounting for investors, for preparers, for auditors. I think that what they'll continue to focus on is also includes the presentations and disclosures that we will have started under my chairmanship.
And I'm curious also, the profession of tomorrow. What do you see when you look there? How will the profession have changed 5 or 10 years down the road?
I think the use of data will continue to be very, very important, not just in the accounting profession, but I think most professions. I think the use of professional judgment will continue to be very important within the financial reporting community, whether you're an investor trying to make a buy or sell decision, whether you're the preparer trying to record a subjective estimate or follow the FASB's principles, or you're the auditor holding the preparer to account. I think professional judgment continues to be important. I do think there'll continue to be rapid change, and I would encourage all those in the accounting profession to create a culture of learning and to be, you know, receptive to change and doing things, you know, that are more efficient and more effective. I think data has shown to be very, very powerful, really in all the professions.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be something to watch. Well, listen, Russ Golden, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Best of luck with your next initiatives and with the rest of your tenure. Thank you again for being
here. Thanks, Bill.
That was Russ Golden, chair of the Financial Accounting Standards Board. You can find out more about the FASB's most recent initiatives by visiting fasb.org. There's also a press release there about the newly proposed accounting standards update that focuses on distinguishing liabilities from equity. Be sure to check that out. And remember, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. We're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's all I've got for you this week. So, have a great week. I will talk to you again soon. Take care.